publicise and deal with public inquiries about the event, a website was launched. Noel Staunton explains.
First of all, we did was to set up a website, because that's the first place people go to, and it's also the easiest place to control the information that goes out. And of course, the other major decision we made was the decision about registration. You had to register on the net. We also had telephone registration and fax registration, but we wanted to use the whole net as a method of dealing with this. And that we did, and it was interesting, the registrations moved much quicker than we'd actually anticipated, but we were very pleased. So the internet was a major tool in that way. And we had some very funny emails, people who wanted to come from Queensland, and they wanted to have a picnic on the bridge, and they wouldn't hold it up for too long. And we had to explain to them that people had to keep walking, otherwise we'd end up with enormous traffic problems. So the net was an amazing tool for these type of events.
The support of the media to publicise the event was crucial. Brad Turner is the manager of the Sydney Harbour Bridge Alliance.
We had almost endless media interest in the last fortnight in particular. You know, some really quirky questions and odd stories and a lot of the usual cliche stuff about the sandstone, which is actually granite in the pylons, and De Groot's sword and all those sorts of things. It was just so varied. We had people from Japanese television want to talk about it. We had, yeah, as I say, almost endless. Everybody wanted to come down and interview the current version of Paul Hogan, assuming that they're just like a factory, that we don't actually maintain the bridge, we just build new little Paul Hogans every 10 years just to keep the media interest up. But yeah, it's all well-meaning, and it just goes to that fundamental thing. People really love the Sydney Harbour Bridge. They want to hear a good story about it.
Well, the media plays a very good role. They can be our allies sometimes, and they can certainly be our enemy at other times. In this particular case, they weren't helpful in a lot of regards, one of which was about the numbers of people that were actually being invited to go to the event. The media were asking questions like, oh, so everybody's registered and they don't have a ticket, but they've got a confirmation form. So what are they got to do when they get to North Sydney or Milsons Point? Who checks them? And of course, the honest answer is, well, no one was going to check them. Oh, so anyone could really turn up. The media kept pressing, and then, in fact, some of the radio jocks, the shock jocks, were there saying, oh, well, you're going to have a lot of people turn up. In fact, everybody out there, if you're listening to me, you can turn up. You don't have to register anyway, which, of course, caused us great concern.
On radio commentary earlier during the week, we were a little bit apprehensive my husband wouldn't come today because he said, no, it's going to be debacle.
Catherine Parker recollects.
I think there was probably a moment of consternation where all government departments, not just the RTA, were concerned that if too many people showed up, we actually in the time frame could not walk 400,000 across the bridge. It would take 2 days to do that. We also couldn't get them in and out of the city on the public transport. We would have had to put even more trains and buses on. But then it became apparent from the way people were responding that most people who actually wanted to attend had registered anyway. It wasn't going to be a blowout.